1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannon with you until 3 o'clock today. And we'll go straight to Mary. Mary, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Yeah, Mary, you have an issue with Calog's GAA Cool Camps, hugely popular summer camps for children all over the country.
That's correct, yes. Now, no issue with the camps themselves as such. It's a great camp that's offered to the kids every year. They always enjoy it. And good value for money as such, except this year in particular, where we've been asked to pay for the kit that we got last year. As you know, the camps were cancelled because of COVID. So I have a kit for my child that fits her, and I don't need a camp kit for this year. Now, they're using the exact same kit, but I don't have an option to not purchase it.
Okay.
And that's my issue.
Okay, we'll go back to last year then. So last year you signed up because there was a hope, of course, that these camps could have gone ahead, but ultimately they couldn't. And you had paid, and the way this works is you pay a fee and you get a very nice kit, I have to say. I was looking at it online today. You get a kit bag and zipped jacket and a shirt.
Yeah.
So you got all of that.
We got all of that, yep.
And then they were cancelled. So rather than return everything, everyone was allowed to hang on to the kits and you got a refund for the remainder.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so there's tens of thousands of families around the country have these kits from last summer. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, so you sign up this year, as you say, you have the kit in a drawer, presumably not used from last year.
Very little use, yeah.
Right. And they're running, they have the same kit this year, so it wouldn't look any different.
Nope.
And, but you say there's no option. You have to pay the full whack and get a full kit again this year if you want to take part.
And pay €7.50 to have the same kit postage to you that you don't need. So not only are you paying for the kit, but you're also paying for the postage for a kit that you don't need. Now, again, you know, some children grow quite significantly, you know, over the year and you know, parents may need it. I don't, and I'm sure, and I know of another friend who has four kids and doesn't necessarily need all of them, but there is no option for booking one child this year to say, no, grand, I'm okay, I have the kid from last year, thanks very much.
And how much are we talking about, Mary? How much altogether for
altogether, the €65 for the cool camp and then €7.50 plus for the postage for the kit. So the €65 includes the kit. Now, last year, I ended up between postage and the camp paid €75 and I was refunded 30.
Right.
So it was €45, including the postage, we say take off €10 for that. So €35, we say, was what it cost me last year to have a kit that I don't need a bigger size in. I have the backpack and I now have to turn around and pay for it again this year when I don't need it. So I'd be interested to hear what the GAA have to say in relation to that.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose we should say, because I think any parent listening to this who has been trying to sign their children up for summer camp, and we know there's been a huge scramble for summer camps this year, will say that what is £72.50, it's pretty good value, I suppose you would have to say.
Absolutely, and that's why I said from the outset, it's a great camp, absolutely no issue with that. It is good value. It always has been good value for what they get and the number of days and hours and everything else that they're there. I do not have an issue with that. I'd highly recommend the camps. But in particular this year, there's no option to not avail of the kit when we have it already. I'll end up with a second kit sitting around that won't be worn. That's basically it. And I don't feel there's an appetite for this kind of thing in the country right now, to be honest with you. I certainly don't have an appetite for having something that's completely unnecessary or paying for something that I don't need.
Yeah,
I would have thought that would have been taken into consideration.
And as you say, not only paying for something you don't need, but paying for the thing you don't need to be posted to all over again.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, that's the point and that's the issue with it.
And children do this camp more than once over a summer period, and there is an option there for those children.
Yes, there is an option. If you're booking a second camp, you can use the code that you have for your camp to get a discount on it and not pay for the kit for the second camp. But there is no option for anybody from last year who has the kit to not avail of the kit this year. That's the crux of the matter.
It's your daughter, isn't it, you were signing up?
Yeah.
And I presume has she done it ever before now that it was cancelled last year? Did she do it before that?
She had done it before that, yeah. She had done it before that. And look, there are not a huge amount, as I said, of options in relation to summer camps. available. And my understanding is that there is great uptake on the GAA camps this year, and I'm not surprised. As I said, they're a good camp for the kids, but it's the issue about the kit that really.
And have you tried to raise it with anyone, Mary?
Yes, I did. I raised it with one of the coordinators for the county, and they said that the decision was taken at Croke Park level, despite them having raised their concerns about it, but that they were told, no, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah, it seems extraordinary. I mean, not just, and there's a money issue there, of course, and as you say, your friend with the four children, or many people have more than one child, it racks up, you know, in terms
Absolutely.
Of that extra yeah. that extra money. And as you
yeah.
say, with COVID, there will be a lot of households with not a lot of spare cash lying around. But also
yeah,
just on the waste
best.
Bit,
yeah.
on the waste yeah. part of it mm. is what would, like, that just seems extraordinary that this is like built in, hardwired
yeah.
into the cost of this.
It is, and considering, as I said, that it appears to have been raised with the council or the county coordinators with the Croke Park level to say, look, you know, we don't believe this is necessary, and they were told, no, this is how it was going to be. So, I mean, it's not just me. Other people within the GAA have raised it, and it seems to have fallen on deaf ears.
Yeah, and you'd be prepared to pay that €50, would you, if they could let out?
I would pay for the camp and not incur the cost of another kit. That just doesn't seem unreasonable, I don't think.
Yeah. And of course, these cool camps are sponsored by Kellogg's. I wonder, are they, you know, how the cost base is made up, basically, you know, is the this kit cost built into the business model, so to speak?
Well, maybe somebody on that side could answer that, but there may be a stockpile of kit from last year that they need to get rid of. I don't know. Somebody on who might be in the know could answer those questions. But as I said, that's just something that I wanted to raise and find out, are there other people, have they raised it at local or county level as well, and what has the response been in relation to that? Can they justify it?
Yeah, well,
the parents are trying their best to provide kids with some form of a summer holiday this year, which, because we're limited to staying in the country, has proven quite expensive. Everybody's out buying tents and caravans and whatnot, trying to provide, you know, some level of normality and a summer to remember for their kids. But then to have that added in, as you said, it's going to end up in the bed or the wardrobe, you know, all this kit that you don't need. And for me, it's only one child, but for other families, you can imagine there might be two or three knocking around.
Yeah, okay. Mary, will you stay with us? And we'll try and find out some more about that. We've got another mom on the line. Frances, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Yeah, you're not on about Cool Camp, but you have also an issue with your daughter.
Yes. Basically, I suppose I'm speaking. Thanks a million for the opportunity to speak for all parents of sixth class students leaving primary school. And because we've explored all the avenues at this stage between ministers and email addresses to the government, and you're the only outlet we've received at this stage. But yeah, I'm speaking for all the parents because I suppose since the 7th of June, we're supposed to be allowed to have organised outdoor events, and there's supposed to be allowed a maximum of 100 people allowed. But graduations have all been reverted to Zoom calls or Zoom videos at this stage, and we're just looking for, we think that at this stage that the government should consider that after the 15 months that the kids have had in sixth class, that they really should earn their rite of passage. You know, they've missed an awful lot already in sixth class, all their rites of passage, you know, school trips and GAA sports, it's playing in Croke Park in our school anyway in particular, that's a big event. So, and they become entrepreneurs and they, you know, create money and events that get them, our school in particular, go to Delphi for 2 days. And all these events have been kind of, you know, denied by the kids. And they were, my daughter in particular came home crying the other day when she found out that it was going to be a recorded video and that the parents weren't allowed to attend.
Really? Was she that engaged or invested in this idea of having parents attending the graduation?
Was my daughter?
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, they wait for sixth class. They wait for this final event. I mean, I personally, I have three children and this is my last one in that school. And it's a big deal for her to sit beside. I mean, my son graduated last year and it was in the middle of the pandemic, and it was a lot. We were at a different stage and basically we were allowed to sit beside him. And it is important. And for me as well, as a personal level, I'm saying goodbye to the school. And for every parent that's there, whether it's your first, last or middle child, you like to be there. I mean, I have been going to that school. It's a Gael school. And I opted to send them to that. It's been a tough 13 years getting kids down to a Gael school because it's not in my village. And, you know, I haven't been able to go into the school for the last year and a half. And, you know, I can't walk back into that school again. And I'd like to see my daughter graduate as I did with my other two children. And I think it's really important. And yeah, I mean, she wants me there. Yeah.
And yeah, have you spoken to the school about it? Like, why the school, are they taking the route?
The school have been amazing. The school have been amazing. They've tried their best to make everything as you know, as enjoyable as possible. They've organised one outdoor event. They've organised events and stuff, but they are governed by the education guidelines. So they've basically, we all emailed them, and there's nothing they can do. Their hands are tied. They've sent us the email they got from the department, and there's nothing they can do about it.
It's
across the board.
A long statement from the Department of Education as well, but basically saying, as I'm sure the email you saw said, Frances, schools will not be in a position to facilitate the attendance of parents or other family members at graduation ceremonies.
The guidelines are that 100 people are allowed to attend organised outdoor events. So that's why we kind of all as parents assumed we were going to be going to it. And I mean, their confirmation has gone ahead. That's an indoor event. They're allowed to have two persons sitting in the church indoors at a confirmation, you know, and that's not
when will that
the same
be,
issue.
Frances?
That's the 6th of July. Yes, things could change, but that's the 6th of July.
And the graduation is what date is that happening?
Next Friday. Now, the school have been amazing. They recorded a video last Friday. That was their graduation ceremony. And they said they are available for Plan B if guidelines were lifted. So I just think it's up to the government at this stage that they do. They should consider that after the 15 months the children have had, that they do earn the rite of passage to have their parents present at the graduation ceremony.
Could it be, though, Frances, that many parents, given, you know, the circumstances, given what we heard, I think if anyone heard the news this morning about the Delta variant, that many parents would be not very comfortable about being in any sort of a gathering, and that when you might have that scenario, it would be better to have no parents there rather than just the parents who are comfortable with being there, it's such a big moment in all those children's lives.
With a child in sixth class, a lot of us are vaccinated. My husband personally is doubly vaccinated because he works for the HSE. But a lot of parents would be vaccinated. We attended this ceremony last year. There was no outbreak after it. The school has been COVID-free, from my knowledge, since they returned to school at this stage. So, I mean, all the guidelines you're listening to is that the schools are not causing any of the outbreaks and stuff like that. So, it has the capacity to host 100 people if they wanted. But with the confirmations, they're separating them into, you know, even if you did one class, because Gael schools only have, in my personal situation, there's only two classes. So you could separate them into twos if you wanted, 13 per class, because there's, you know, 13, and then two parents attend or whatever. Even one parent, it's just the kids. Look, the parents do want to be there. I know you're saying maybe they don't. We have a group. Every parent wants to be there in the group. I haven't had one
negative
feedback. Is
that group of
feedback.
All the parents from that sixth class?
From that sixth class, yeah. You know the way you set up your own personal WhatsApp groups for the parents and stuff like that.
I do. The bane of many parents' lives.
Yeah,
Frances.
I know. Yeah, turn off your notifications. But no, personally, look, there's not one of them. Everyone, I've told them I'm going on. They want me to represent them. You know, they want to be heard. They've emailed, you know, they've emailed local TDs, they've emailed the school. So everybody does want to be involved. I mean, they're standing outside the railings with the hope that they might see him walking out at the end of the graduation. They definitely do want to be there.
What
you know?
Happens at these graduations, Frances?
They're very special, Katie. They're very special. I know everyone will speak from their school, but I mean, last year, each child had their, you know, helium balloon with their name on it. Because they go to my school, personally go to a Gael school, they get their fania after their 8 years of speaking in Irish, of being a Gaelgor, and they do presentations, obviously the traditional dances, music, singing. Now, I don't think they're allowed to sing because that's that's just part of, you're not allowed to sing into a microphone at the moment. But I mean, it's and then there's kind of like, you know, if there was an opportunity to just chat to people. But we all wore masks last year. You know, we all chose to practice all the guidelines, as did the school. And there's a video up of everybody, and they usually have a video of, you know, what they've done from start to finish. I mean, these kids started at 3 in the NINRA in this school, so they've been there for 8 years. So I don't know, I just think it's a shame, considering what they've gone through for the last 15 months.
And I suppose, yeah, it is. But I do think that this is, it's a new thing, really, this idea of graduating from primary school.
I know, I
suppose some people might think it's a slight Americanization of our system.
Yeah.
But, you know, you even have graduations from kindergartens now. And I suppose once it becomes a thing, it becomes a big thing in any 12-year-old's life.
Yeah, well, I suppose graduation is not the right term for me. Recognition is the right term for me, where they're recognised for their 8 years of service in primary education. You know, they've been dedicated for 8 years, as have the teachers, you know, and I just think the recognition that they're leaving that premises after 8 years, and the work that they've put in, and it's just, you know, you're displaying what you've achieved, you know, over the last 8 years, especially for them, for getting their fania for speaking in Irish and stuff like that. That's been, you know, that's in itself.
How do you think the teachers feel about it, Frances? Because I suppose
They're totally on board with us, Katie. Like, as in the replies, sometimes you get, you know, your emails back from the schools where they're very straight about things and it can't be done. They told us they have a plan B. You know, that if the government were to lift the restrictions next week, they would be available to do what they did last year.
And they'd be happy to do that, because I think, you know, we do ask a lot of teachers beyond, above and beyond what they do in terms of teaching.
Mm-hmm. No, they are, and where I live, there's three or four primary schools, and they are. I've met teachers and I know teachers, and they seem to be on board with it as well. I mean, I suppose teachers have the children's interest at heart, and they want to see them happy. They're doing their best currently, and they are achieving a lot under the circumstances currently. But I do think it would, every child talks about their graduation, the day that they can walk through that school knowing that they're leaving and that they're the ones that have earned the rite of passage of that school at this stage.
But as it stands, looking at that statement from the Department of Education, no child in the country will have a graduation ceremony with their parents present this year.
I just feel, Katie, it's a contradiction to the guidelines that are there. I mean, it's considered an outdoor event, and the guidelines on the 7th of June were that 100 people can attend an outdoor event. So I don't know. It's like a contradiction between the statement from the Education Board and the government guidelines. That's my opinion anyway.
I suppose they're being super careful, and maybe many teachers are of the age that they are not vaccinated. And, you know, we do, as we say, we're being told today we have to be extra cautious.
But Katie, they're in this classroom with those 26 kids, you know, and there's been no outbreaks since they returned. Everyone's practicing all the guidelines. You know, that in itself is an amazing achievement. So I don't feel personally, from my experience, that an outdoor event would add to that, because you're bringing in older adults that are possibly vaccinated, and you're outdoors. And you mean, you've seen things where there's now events like a concert that went ahead with 500 people, and you're just kind of going, look, you take these things personally, you just go, why can't we? And I know it sounds selfish, but it's more for me leaving school, for my third child leaving school, and for her, it's for the children that they want this. And that's the bottom line.
Okay, Frances, thank you for that. We'll have to take a break there. 1850 715.
No problem. I appreciate your time. Thanks, Katie.
Thanks, Frances.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And just before the break there, we were hearing from Mary, or from Frances, who was very upset that she's not allowed to attend her daughter's graduation from primary school. Siobhan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, you were listening to Frances there.
Yeah, I just think that, I do think it's, I was a little bit surprised at sort of something as small as this on a national level should be brought onto Joe Duffy. I know it's like tough on the kids, but I think that you know, there's talk about being a rite of passage and whatever, and like clearly this is something that I'm a generation ahead of that. But I think that, you know, the parents should just explain to the children that, you know, yes, they won't be able to do their graduation, but, you know, they're doing a huge service to the country by holding back, and that they can have their own little parties with their own little friends outside in smaller groups and, you know, celebrate another way and another time. I don't think that, you know, there should be tears over this, as that poor lady's daughter is like very cheerful about it. I think that really the it's up to the parents and the teachers to kind of, you know, handle the situation better with the children, because children can get upset, but, you know, it's how you present it and how you spin it to the kids.
But I suppose what Frances's point was that they've had to explain a lot to kids over the last year, and kids have to have had to take on board a lot. And, you know, if the regulations say that you can have up to 100 people at a gathering, why not allow these graduations to go ahead outdoors?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, really they have to take the guidance from the Department of Education. You know, they don't want a potential super spreader event. These are children, not adults. So, you know, maybe they won't be as cognizant of the rules as maybe an outdoor event with 100 adults. Yes. So, and like, yeah, I mean, it's tough, and the poor children and all of us have had to put up with an awful lot. But, you know, people had to live through World War II bombings and Hackney, etc. So, like, really, it's not going to a little party at the end of the year is big for the children. But I think that if it's made into a big thing, it's just going to upset the children. So I don't think it should really be an issue. I think just handle it, get on, and plan happy things for the rest of the summer.
I actually think we still have Frances on another line. Frances, are you still there?
I am. Yeah.
Do you want to respond to that, Siobhan? So you make a big deal out of it and you'll just upset the children more.
I mean, we've spent 15 months explaining this to the children. The children have been so responsive with everything we've asked. I have explained it to my daughter. She will accept it. But like, the guidelines are the guidelines. And I know we're being... But, I mean, comparing it to World War II, I mean, we're living in the here and now. And that's not a comparison we can make to a child. I can't explain to a child worse things happened in World War II. You know what I mean? They just live for the now. And that's the way it is. The point I'm raising is that there is guidelines from the government that you can have an outdoor event. We haven't had outbreaks in the school, what we thought would happen. And I don't believe that, I would hope and sincerely hope that nothing would come of an outdoor event like this. And like we do explain it to the children, and they are adaptable. But personally, you know, it's something I feel strongly about that could possibly go ahead. And if the government allowed it to go ahead. So, yeah, I just think I'm not going to take an airy-fairy attitude on it. You know what I mean? I'm taking it personally.
And, you know, I don't want to, you know, be any kind of party pooper, but, you know, we're just, you know, like, you know, we all have to kind of take these knocks. And, you know, there could just be one parent there with the Delta variant, and the whole group is infected, and then they go home and infect all their families and then all their neighbours. And, you know, there's an outdoor party in Athlone, whatever, last week, and now there's suddenly a huge outbreak. So people would have thought it was perfectly okay, we're all outside.
No disrespect, but it would be very well organised with masks and you know what I mean? Like the outdoor events that you're referring to up in Athlone, I'm sure it was, you know, a party where people weren't adhering to the correct guidelines. This would be an organised event through the school, and everybody would be adhering to the guidelines, and so the chances would be a lot slimmer. I mean, you can get the Delta variant by going to your Super Value and getting a loaf of bread. Do you know what I mean? But you know, you could touch anything or whatever. It's just look. Yeah, I appreciate everybody has their own opinion, and I'm speaking from a parent that's leaving sixth class, and that's the way I feel about it, and that's the way all the parents feel.
Okay, Frances. Sharon, you are also a parent of a child who's in sixth class at the moment.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the exact situation in that it is my youngest of three, and same thing, he's graduating sixth class in the school, but the kids are going to be there, the parents aren't allowed, it's tomorrow. And like Frances, you know, I've been a long time with the school. He's my youngest of three. But I completely get it. You know, the kids, we've all been through so much, and the kids have missed so much. I have a Leaving Cert girl who missed everything. But I don't mean this as an insult, but I just think it could be taken really, really a lot less seriously. You know, I think the kids are, you know, the typical sixth class child is more than mature enough to understand that it's not going to happen this year. And I just, with all sympathy, I've felt the same. My daughter, my oldest is Mr. Debs, and he's missing, my youngest guy is missing his graduation, just like her girl. But I just think, it's no offense, but I just think it's, I just know that we just haven't made that big of a deal of it. And I do think that our kids at the, you know, in 10, 20 years, generations from now, they will have learned a bit of self-sacrifice, you know. The last caller said something about World War II, and I know, you know, you thought it might have been a bit of a stretch, but, you know, our kids are going to be that generation who learned a lot from a pandemic, good and bad, you know. I just think it just wasn't that big of a deal. And anyway, that's just my perspective on it. And
Francis, sorry, Sharon, Francis. Like Sharon's position there is that she, mm-hmm. and she's in exactly your position, third mm-hmm. or last child of three children about to graduate, but she's saying, you know, it's not a big deal.
In the context of a global pandemic, it's really to not
attend,
a big deal.
Is that what you're saying, Sharon? You think
just
it's okay?
To say, you know what, mm-hmm. this is what it is. I mean, you know, in 15 years' time, when those kids are in college or whatever they're doing, this is not going to be a blip in their life, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. know. And it is.
They're not even going to remember, yeah?
Yeah, but they'll still have plenty mm-hmm. of memories from primary school.
Francis, am I right, though, from what you were explaining your situation, mm-hmm. that it's as much about your relationship with this school as your... as your child?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is, and I shouldn't probably let that come into it, maybe, but it is, it's me saying goodbye to our school after 13 years as well, but personally, I'd like to see my daughter, the word graduate is not really, it's the recognition that she served her 8 years in primary school, and like they were deprived of their, you know, denied their school concerts, their school trips this year, any other event that I might have been able to partake as a parent throughout the last year and a half. Like I have two other children that suffered as well. You know, one is in first year and he left last year, and another in TY. So they've also had to make self-sacrifices as well. I just feel that, yeah, I mean, it's just something that I thought, you know, if you compare it to the guidelines, that it should possibly be allowed to be go ahead, but the government should consider allowing it to go ahead.
Okay, I want to bring in Eugene. Eugene Cahill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah.
I was just listening with bemusement to the whole article, in the concept of you know, graduating from primary school. It's a bit much, you know. I mean, we have graduations from primary school and graduations from the Neanery. You know, it's in the middle of a pandemic. Like, it's, you know, it's just it's probably a step too far. That's my take on the concept of the idea.
But you heard what Frances was saying there, that she was acknowledging graduation probably is not the right term, but like a recognition of this, you know, rite of passage, this move from all the years you put into the primary school, you're now moving into big school.
It is. I mean, it's a big step. It's a big step for children. I mean, and they are children. I mean, it's a big step for them into the world of secondary. And they're moving from being big fish in a small pond to being the small fish in a big pond. So, I mean, I appreciate it. It is an important moment, mm-hmm. but I don't know if we need to go down the road of having graduations and graduation parties. They will have enough fun and sport and memories as one as the other callers. They'll have enough of those without bringing the Americans into it.
Do you have children yourself, Eugene?
I have indeed. I have two lovely children.
And did they graduate from any school?
No, they graduated from college, all right, but not from school.
Francis?
No, I suppose for me, it probably seems frivolous for other people that it's a sixth class recognition of leaving school. But I mean, compared to any other organised outdoor events of 100 people, I'm sure maybe, I'm not saying, but if Eugene was a golfer and there was a golfing event on and it was outdoors and that they all wanted to play, I mean, they'd be allowed to do it. It's just the comparison to the fact that there's other organised events. A wedding is allowed to have 50 people at it in a church. And, you know, we're allowed to have, you know, it's just all the guidelines that are applicable to other organised events are acceptable, but this one isn't. And, like, let's forget that it's a sixth class graduating. It's another organised event. Do you know what I mean? And so for me, it's important. For Eugene or maybe somebody else, it's not important. For me, it is, and it's an event that someone would be going on a, you know, on another organised event, whether it be a wedding, whether it be, God forbid, a funeral, you know, a golfing outing, a cycle outing, you know what I mean? We're all outdoors, and, you know, the guideline is, again, it's 100 people allowed in an environment under controlled restrictions.
And I know you said that your daughter came home in tears when she was told this wasn't going to go ahead.
Yeah, because they've been taking hit after hit for 15 months. You know what I mean? They are young. They are mature at sixth class. But they're, you know, it's what they've waited for. You know, they love the whole, you know, allowed to roam around the school freely and stuff like that. But look, I understand in the grand scheme of things, I'm well aware of the pandemic. I've a husband that works in the HSE. I'm well aware of what's been going on and what's involved. It's just, like I said, it's just something I feel and the parents feel that could happen according to guidelines.
Of course, the other big moment for children in sixth class is, which are you going to the same secondary school as your friends?
That's another thing. And because we go to a Grail school, it's kind of a lot of feeder schools and a lot of feeder areas. So you wouldn't be confined to the same location every where they all live. So, to be honest with you, there's not many, you know, they'll all separate and go to different secondary schools. Some continue on to Gael Colostras, which are the secondary Irish schools, and some continue on to English speaking schools around the area. So yes, there's possibly about three or four children going to she can remain with in her secondary school, which is the Gael Colostras, and but others she won't, you know. And it's just like, yeah, it's a sacrifice, I suppose, that we make. But everyone makes that decision on which school they send them to. But in my situation, yeah, they leave their friends.
Yeah. You're not getting an awful lot of support online. I'm seeing more calls coming in. Francis, I want to go to Geraldine. You're a teacher.
Hi, I am, yes. Primary school.
And are you not having this graduation, sir?
No, we actually, our sixth class finished last night because we're finishing this week. So our sixth class had their graduation last night. The only difference was that their parents weren't there. The children had an absolute ball. They got pizza and chips, which they wouldn't have had if it had been the normal graduation. So they came into school. We had it in two separate groups because we've two separate sixth classes. But they had been apart anyway all year long because of the regulations. So they were there with the principal, deputy principal, class teachers. We came to support them. And we made it, their two class teachers worked really hard to make it a very special event for them. And I can honestly say it was a lovely, relaxed time for them. And it did give them the rite of passage. It did give them the chance to say goodbye, you know. And they got their certificate. And even a parent this morning said that they were delighted because they'd had a let's go activity in school yesterday, which meant that they didn't have the emotional thing. Often, like having taught success myself for a few years, they can be emotional wrecks heading into the graduation because of the thought of, you know, they think they'll never see each other again, which obviously isn't true, especially in the age of social media and phones and the whole lot. But, you know, I think it's the parents are the ones who are missing out. I appreciate that, but not to feel sorry for the children, because the children, yes, they've been through an awful time last year, but fortunately, with this year, we were able to get back to school. We finished our last term all in school, trying to make things as normal for the children as possible. So, you know, I don't think the children are going to suffer. That's my point of view.
And in support of you, Geraldine, and from the start of the conversation, the teachers have been amazing from when they've returned. And in our school, hands up, they've done everything they can to make it. And probably, like you said, gone above and beyond in some cases to make it even more special because of the circumstances they're under. But I just know my daughter came home and she was very upset, as was a lot of the other children, that they wanted the parents present, and I would personally like to be.
But were they upset? Were they upset because they could see that for you it was a big thing?
No, not at all. Not at all. Sure, I'd be the adult. No, I wouldn't be. I'd be the total opposite, saying, you know, this is fine, this is fine. Yeah. She's mortified to even know that I'd go on a radio and talk about it. So, it's I'm just representing the parents from my school. That's how I feel, well, and that's 26 parents. Yeah.
Our thing then last year was our children. Last year they only had their graduation was a Zoom call. So this year's have had a much better experience. Yeah. This year's sixth class, you know, in comparison with last year's sixth. Because ours even had a school tour and everything. Like, so you couldn't compare the two experiences.
Are you suggesting, Geraldine, am I getting a slight hint from what you're saying that it might have been actually better without the parents there for this?
Well, you know what? I think it was probably a little bit more relaxed, definitely, because normally the children sit with their parents and there have been speeches and things, and they're a little bit more stilted, whereas last night it was fun. And, you know, not saying that it isn't, but it's just, I suppose, the spotlight was on the children last night and on their enjoyment, and that's who this rite of passage was really geared for, you know, the children.
Okay, let me bring in Niamh, who I think might agree with you, Frances. Niamh, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Katie. Yeah, I just wanted to sort of back Frances a little bit. I think she's getting a bit of a hard time. My daughter's 21 in January, and I still remember her graduation from primary. It was beautiful. And, you know, I think people coming on saying, oh, it's unimportant or it's very American. For the children and for us parents, it's a way of saying goodbye, you know, to somewhere that's been hugely important to them for 6 years, or in Frances' case, their little girl was in the Nínera, so it's even longer. And I understand teachers are doing their absolute best. They're in an impossible situation this year and it can't go ahead, and that's no one's fault. But I do think people saying it's unimportant and kind of belittling what Frances is feeling is slightly unfair, because I just feel that, Frances has put, like, she's had three children through that school, and now she's saying a complete goodbye for good. And it is emotional. It doesn't matter whether they're 12 years of age or whether they're 21 and graduate, or 22 and graduating from college. To the child, it's a big deal. It's a goodbye. And all goodbyes are important. And I just think that, you know, such a, yes, we know it can't go ahead. And I'm very lucky. My little boy is only in fifth class. And please God, next year, his will be unaffected. But it's just, you know, sort of saying that, oh, it's, you know, they'll get over it. And yes, they will. Of course they will. Our kids have been amazing throughout this pandemic, better than some adults. But, you know, let's just acknowledge the fact that they're disappointed, and that perhaps a lot of them would like their parents there with them. And, you know, let's just acknowledge the fact that they're missing out on something else. And the teachers are absolutely doing their best to make it a special time for them. I'm not taking away from that at all. And everyone is doing their best. But let's just allow Frances to feel disappointed, because I get it. I would too.
Elena.
Hi there.
Hi, Elena.
Hi, Cathy. Hiya, Frances.
Hi.
I had my youngest went through last year, and yes, again, a bunch of three kids haven't gone through the same school. She didn't have any graduation. It was online. So the parents recorded them doing a little thing at home, and they were very ingenious in the school and put it together. The great IT people in school put it together in school and came up with a gorgeous little video. They missed out on all of those things, the graduation, all of the kind of parading around the school, being the sixth classes who are leaving and writing on each other's shirts and all that kind of stuff. So my daughter, she missed out on that. And obviously then first year has been, you know, whatever it's been. And they've come through it and they're resilient. I appreciate how Frances feels, particularly on the basis that says her last child. But I'm probably going to spend a little bit hard. I think Frances is going to miss it a little bit more than her daughter, her third child. it seems, I totally understand that. I missed out on the fact that I didn't see my last one through.
But isn't that okay too? Because isn't the school experience and the school community about parents as well as children?
Absolutely. And I have no doubt that...
I think we've lost Elena. Yeah, I think we've lost Elena. Francis, do you want to respond to Niamh there, coming in in support of you? We lost Francis as well. Have our lines gone? Do you know what? We'll take a break and we'll come back after these. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Do you know what happened with the gremlins in the system there? I think we have Francis back now. Have we, Francis?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. Yeah. Someone's trying to get rid of me.
So as Niamh was saying there, acknowledging that it's a really emotional time for both children and parents, and it shouldn't be belittled.
Totally. And I mean, everyone's saying there, you know, that it's about the parents. I'm well able to deal with this. I'll accept whatever is thrown at me. It is about my daughter, and that is the bottom line. I want to be there, but I will accept it. You know what I mean? So it is her crying. You know, it is her upset. It's her upset that she's leaving her school, leaving her friends. And like Niamh pointed out, there was a huge amount that school do during the year. Like, she didn't become an entrepreneur and have her cake sale and make her money for her two nights that they go away. She didn't. There was so much that they have accepted. And she will accept this at the end of the day as well. But, you know, the fact remains that she would want me personally and her dad personally there beside her, and possibly years ago her siblings there, because they've been in the school before. It's her moment of being proud of what she's done, and
she can't do. Let me just, it's not just primary school graduations that aren't happening.
Of course, yep.
Yeah, let me bring in Valerie.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Valerie. Yeah, third level graduations are also on hold this year.
Yes, and I cannot for the life of me understand it. My son has worked so hard with the University of Limerick in the last year, kind of working remotely in his room just to sustain his QCA to try to get a first class honours degree. Now, he actually got his results yesterday, and I'm so proud he got his first class honour.
Oh, well done. That's no mean achievement.
No, he worked so hard. He'd do his 8 hours a day in his room and, you know, run and try to keep fit or whatever, but no graduation. I mean, that is a milestone when they put in 4 years in third level and you're paying these, you know, quite good fees, accommodation and the whole lot. And I don't understand it, because, you know, a lot of the third level institutions and universities, they have large green areas outside. They could erect marquees. It's a massive thing to celebrate. And they're going to get their degrees sent in the mail. I don't think that's good enough at all, because there's lots of people back at work at the moment. I worked through COVID and I did it very safely, because it was in a very regulated area, you know, in a pharmaceutical company. So I just think it's actually taken the easy way out.
I must say I'm surprised. I didn't realise that colleges weren't going ahead with graduation ceremonies.
No graduation.
So no cap and gown,
none of that. No photograph, no nothing. And as I said, he's worked so hard, and all of them, most of them do, to achieve those kind of results. And I mean, he did all of his own learning in his bedroom, 6 and 7 hours a day over the last year. There might have been one or two lecturers that would have participated and assisted, you know, in online tutorials. But a lot of it was done kind of by themselves, to be honest with you. And that is some achievement to be able to sustain that kind of a result and nothing to market. I think that's unacceptable completely.
And I wonder, is it another diktat from the department? Because we saw that the issue with the primary school graduation ceremonies was dictated by the Department of Education. I wonder, is this coming from the department as well?
But it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Do you know that people can go to work, and as I said, there are ways, we know what we have to do, you know, to keep it regulated and, you know, to prevent an outbreak happening. And, you know, if anybody should know how to do this, education, people in education should know how to do it as good or better than anyone, do you know? And as I said, a lot of these UCC, University of Limerick, they have magnificent grounds surrounding it. You know, there's ways to do it.
Is your son upset about this?
He's not, actually, because I think the guys are kind of chilled out with that kind of thing. But his brother got to graduate 2 years ago, and it was a wonderful day, and the whole photograph, the gowns, all the friends getting together, do you know? And look at it, that's fine to forego that aspect of it, you know, but the kind of the ceremony, the photographs, the gowns, it's once in a lifetime. You spend 4 years or whatever number of years you spend trying to achieve that, and it's a big achievement. And for it not to be marked, I just think it's not good enough.
I do get it in the same way that we were saying it to Francis, that it is as much about yourself, though, Valerie, as it is about your son, in terms of your pride that he has achieved this great thing under really difficult circumstances.
But he's very proud as well. He actually is very proud, but he's guys are often very chilled out about this kind of thing. Kind of, I think females tend to be a little bit more into ceremonial, you know, weddings and the whole, you know, get up of it. But I do think it's a shame. That is something you will always look back on. I know his older brother that graduated 3 years ago. We'll always look back on the day we had, and it was a fabulous day, and, you know, and lovely meal out and whatever, you know, and the ceremony itself, the photographs and the pomp and the gowns and the hat and the whole lot. I mean,
and about that, Valerie, you can still presumably go and rent a gown and a hat, a cap and take a photograph. Will you do that, do you think?
I probably will do it, because I have one brother, his brother at one side of my mantelpiece, and I'd like him at the other, you know. I mean, as I said, he did such great work and got such a great result. I'm definitely going to mark it in some way. But I just think it's the universities and third level institutions are taking a lazy way out, actually. I don't think it's good enough. At this stage, I completely would have accepted this in the height of COVID. But we're at a different stage now, you know, we're kind of coming out of it.
Well, we're still being told to be cautious, though.
Oh, yeah, but be cautious, that's what I'm saying. I mean, as I said, I worked throughout it in a pharmaceutical building project. And, you know, temperatures were taken, social distance, the whole lot. We know what to do to curtail it. And, you know, as I said, even if they can do it indoors with certain restricted numbers, there's lots of space outdoors with marquees and that. It could be set up and organised, absolutely. You know.
Okay, Valerie, thank you for that. And thank you, Francis and Geraldine and all our callers on that. 51551 is our text line. We'll take a break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Moving on now, I want to bring in Connor Roach. Good afternoon, Connor.
Good afternoon, Katie. How are you?
Very well, Connor. You have an issue with air and your father's service for your father. Talk me through it.
Okay. On the 10th of June, my father, who's 87 at the time, 88 today, it's his birthday today, he received a phone call from AIR offering to upgrade his TV service and offering to save him money.
Right.
They did not ask any questions about his telephone or indeed whether he had an alarm on his wrist in case he had a fall. And
just to explain to people, your father's phone service was also, he's tied into a TV package and his alarm.
Yes, he has a full package with AIR. He has broadband, TV and telephone.
Right, and this
and
this
he has an alarm on his arm that if in case he falls, he can press the alarm, and it goes through to a service who will send assistance.
Okay, so totally unsolicited, he gets a phone call from AIR asking him if he would like to save some money and upgrade his service.
Yes, and no mention about the telephone, and he agreed to the switch. He was told that he had 14 days to change his mind. And so he agreed to the switch and immediately lost his TV service and lost his telephone service. And we have been trying since then to get his TV and telephone back and have failed to do so. And as of course, Sod's Law is, my father had a fall last week and had to spend the night on the floor because he couldn't raise the alarm to anybody.
Oh, and just remind us again, your dad is 88 today.
He's 88 today. Today is his birthday. And I've been on the phone with AIR a lot over the last week. And yesterday I said to him, could you possibly do something for his birthday and get his phone back and his TV back? And they're saying that the phone might be back at the end of the week, maybe next week. And they can't do anything about his TV until his phone is back. And so he's an elderly man, and he watches TV to amuse himself in the evening, and he doesn't have that at the moment.
So how is he managing then?
Well, myself and my wife are up and down to him in Arklow, and we have tried to create some. He still has broadband, curiously, so he's still able to download his Irish Times. And we've managed to hook up something where he can get Netflix. But, you know, he's not used to operating Netflix, so it's more a case of us putting something on for him and leaving him there for the evening. But when it's over, he doesn't have anything else to watch. And, yeah, he's for the last 10 days, he's been reading a lot. So that's.
And you say he had a fall?
Yeah, he had a fall. Luckily, not too bad a fall, but nonetheless, he couldn't get himself up off the ground. He slipped in the bathroom, so he crawled back to the bedroom and he pulled the duvet down on top of himself, and he slept there overnight until his carer came in the next morning, and they couldn't get him up either. So we had an ambulance check him out, but fortunately, he's no serious damage done. But it shows how important the alarm on his wrist is.
Yeah, so normally in those circumstances, you just press this alarm and you'd be checked on immediately.
Yes, basically a voice. There's a box in the house and somebody comes on and tries to talk to him. If they can't talk to him, they raise the alarm. And they have a list of people they call, including myself and my wife and my brother-in-law and a neighbour. And if none of those can be arranged, then I think they call the services.
Yeah, it is. Those personal alarms are absolutely fantastic services. Yeah. Really give people peace of mind, people like yourself and indeed, I'm sure, your dad as well. What's the current state of play? What's the deadline or what are you being told now in terms of when you might get these?
Well, I was told lines? I'd be phoned. I asked to talk to a supervisor yesterday and I was told that wasn't possible, that somebody would call me today, but nobody has. And we're just waiting. The latest is that the phone might be back Friday or Monday next week, and we will just wait. And calling doesn't seem to awaken air. We thought after he had the fall that somebody would react and take it a bit more seriously.
And you told them about that what happened with that fall?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I was on the phone with them for 2 hours on Thursday, 2 hours on Friday, 2 hours yesterday. It's been quite an ordeal. I don't know what my dad would do if he didn't have help to try and get back on, because, they even wrote to him yesterday to ask how did they do with their customer service, which he thought was quite funny.
I think we have your dad, Jerry, on another line. Jerry, are you there?
Yeah. Yes, I am.
Jerry, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Without your television or your phone.
Well, I'm in transit at the moment. I've been out for lunch.
Lovely.
And I haven't got home yet.
Right.
My daughter-in-law and I went to lunch together.
For a birthday lunch?
Yes, exactly.
Lovely. And you could probably do with it after that. That must have been quite traumatic, that fall that you took last week.
Well, it wasn't that hurtful. It was the fact that I couldn't do anything about it because my legs aren't strong enough to lift me off the floor. And there was nothing that I could hold on to that could pull me up off the floor. If you're lucky when you fall, you might be beside the table and the table will get you up. But I was in the middle of the bathroom, and I had to get from the bathroom to the bedroom, which is just around the corner, on my hands and knees. And I could do that all right, but I couldn't get into the bed. That was where my problem began.
So what time of the evening was it when you actually fell?
It was bedtime, which was probably about 11 o'clock at night.
So 11 o'clock at night, you were on the floor, on the bathroom. And
no, well, yes, I'm from the bathroom and I was on my knees fairly quickly to try and get into the bed. But I didn't make it. I only made it as far as the floor, so I slept on the floor all night. I slept rather well, as it happened, funny enough.
And, Jerry, and you must have been cold, were you?
Was I what?
Were you cold?
No, because I was able to pull my duvet and a pillow off the bed and onto the floor. And I use them to keep myself warm.
Right. And you knew that there would be somebody coming in the morning, did you?
Not at that stage. But sorry, I did know that my carer would be coming first thing in the morning, about 8 or 9 o'clock. And she did come, but she couldn't help me because she couldn't lift me either. It was too heavy. And then she rang my daughter-in-law, who in turn rang the doctor at the hospital. And they sent around a doctor who, together with the carer, lifted me up onto the bed on both sides. Once I got onto the bed, I was able to stand up and I was able to walk. But my legs are not strong enough to lift me on their own. So anyhow, I was tested, as a doctor would test you with all sorts of things, pinning them into you and so on. And I passed as being okay, that I didn't need to go to hospital. All they would do up in hospital was do exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I said that I didn't need to go, so I didn't go. But in the meantime, they sent around the ambulance, and a second doctor came out, and he did exactly the same thing again. He came up with the same result also.
So you're doubly checked.
I was doubly checked. And the bump I had when I fell was only a mild fall. So I wasn't broken or anything like that.
But I'm sure, Gerry, you could have done without spending a night on the floor.
Absolutely. And I was restless on the floor, all right.
And as you say, you know, this is the reason you have this alarm.
Alarm, yes. And the alarm has been very efficient. I've had it now for about 10 years. And it's very efficient and very prompt, and it works very well. And if I'd had the phone, it would have rung somebody in less than 3 or 4 minutes.
Yes, and of course the thing is, thank God you didn't hurt yourself, but that might not have been the scenario. You could have fallen and hurt yourself, and again...
If I'd fallen another way, I could have broken something.
And that would have been a very, very, very difficult night then, without anybody to alert, no phone and no alarm.
Correct. And that's just part of the problem. But the problem now on top of that is because that will only be cleared when the telephone is replaced. But I want to get the picture back as well.
Yeah, you're managing with no television at the moment.
No new television. No, it's all dead.
And how is that?
Well, it's because the minute I said to them, I will accept what you're offering me, and within less than an hour, I had either shut the thing down altogether, and it hasn't been opened up since.
And do you find it tough, could be being on your own in the house without the telly?
Well, I'm used to it now, and I do a lot of reading, and I have a tablet where I have the papers, newspapers, 3 or 4 newspapers. So I do a fair amount of reading, and I can drive a little bit if necessary. But very little, to be honest with you. I'm not getting any younger, as you might say.
And would you be worried that you might take another fall?
No, because I get more careful every time. And I hope I'm getting some bars in the bathroom that I can hold on to when I'm getting up, so that I don't fall. I have two bathrooms, and I have bars in the other bathroom. It's not beside the bedroom. And
right.
If I had the same bars in the second bedroom, I would have been all right because I could have grabbed them.
Yeah, that's what they call it, Sod's Law. The bathroom you fell in was the one without the bars.
But that's right.
go back to the original phone call when you got that call offering you this upgrade, as it was, on the TV package. Was there any questions at all about what else was attached to your service plan at that stage?
Well, they sold it to me up front, giving me 14 days to change my mind if I wanted to. And when obviously Connor, whom you've just been talking to, came in, I told him, and he said, don't ever do that again, because they take advantage of it in some way. I was a bit naive, I have to admit.
But you say there was 14 days to change your mind, but then are you saying that you only got an hour actually before your service was cut?
That's right. That's absolutely right. And I don't understand why they wanted to cut it off. I have no idea why they wanted to cut it off, because they dragged the telephone with them.
Yeah. Let me bring Connor back in. Connor, have they given you any explanation for where this 14 days to change your mind disappeared?
I did speak to them and asked them, could I change my mind? And they said, no, the TV box that they're upgrading is now considered obsolete by them, and so you can't go back. And the reason the telephone was cut off is that they changed the telephone so that it would come out of the broadband box. I don't know why they did that, but they decided to do that. And unfortunately, that doesn't work with an alarm on your wrist. So the phone never came on via broadband. There's a delay of a few days, apparently. But I said to them, no, but he needs it. He needs the phone coming out of the wall rather than out of broadband. And so they then had to undo part of what had been put in place, and it still hasn't resolved itself.
God, it's so frustrating. I know we've been on to air, and we are still waiting for a response to our queries in relation to this from air, but it doesn't sound like you've got much satisfaction from your, five or six hours on the phone to them, Connor?
No, very, very frustrating. I have to say the assistants in air, the ladies and gentlemen on the telephone, have been very nice and have tried to resolve it, but it requires apparently multiple departments to connect, and there also seems to be, every time something happens, you have to wait 24 hours until you do something else, and it just hasn't moved forward, despite the pleasantries. And but I think one of the frustrations is there doesn't seem to be any way to escalate it. There doesn't seem to be a way to speak to a supervisor or to say this is a really serious case. Maybe AIR have a lot of cases, but this one is really quite a bad one, I would have thought.
Well, I suppose the main issue, I presume your main issue with this, is the fact that your dad has no way of contacting anyone now, or no way of raising an alarm should anything else happen to him.
Correct.
And you've made that very clear, have you, to the people you've spoken to in AIR?
Yes, but the people I've spoken to weren't able to give me anything other than hopefully by the end of this week, maybe early next week. That was sort of the 5 to 10 days is what it will take to get the phone back, which was working perfectly well. The account was fully up to date, all was paid, and yet there's something wrong here, but I can't seem to get somebody to fix it.
But I suppose the question you'd be asking is, if anything were to happen, and really, really hope nothing ever would happen, but if anything were to happen, who would be responsible?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Well, something did happen, and it was very upsetting for Dad and upsetting for us all, and thankfully he's okay. And he had an awful night. He downplays how awful it was because he doesn't want us to do anything that might change his living situation. But we want to keep him independent as long as possible, and we certainly don't want him to be as exposed like this.
Yeah, and I'm sure, Gerry, if you're still there, I'm sure you want to be independent as possible for as long as possible as well.
Absolutely, I'm quite normal in that sense.
And I know you said you're being careful and you're hoping, you know, you don't think there'll be another fall, but it must be there in the back of your mind. That
well, it's always possible. I haven't got any shiny floors except in the two bathrooms. I've got carpet all around the house otherwise, and therefore it's not as exposed to me falling on them.
Yeah, Dad has a walker as well. He... with wheels that helps him around the house. So,
Okay.
Well, and I use it all the time.
Good. I'm good. Glad to hear it, Gerry. And listen, I hope you have an enjoyable rest of your birthday. It's a big birthday to reach. Okay. Have you any other plans?
Not at the moment, thank you. We'll wait and see. It's early in the day yet.
It is, Jerry. Listen, the best of luck. And as I say, we will bring, if we get any response from Aaron, as I say, we have been on to them, we will pass it on. But we leave that there for now. Jerry, many, many thanks and happy birthday again. Yeah. And Connor, thank you for getting in touch with that. 51551 is our text line.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815. Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Now, in yesterday's show, a conversation that began about the killing of a family of wild boars graduated onto a conversation about pig farming. Jerry, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, you have an issue with pig farming.
I do indeed. Recently, or a couple of years ago, a pig farm opened up next to us, pretty close to us here, and it is in a rural area, and we're used to cattle and slurry and all the rest of it, no problem with that, but this intensive pig farming, it's absolutely stifling. It's driving us out of our home, it's that bad.
You're saying that the smell of the pig manure?
Oh, it's incredibly bad, yeah, and it's non-stop. When you're talking about cattle slurry and all the rest of it, I mean, they just spread that a couple of times a year, but this is endless. It's an enormous shed with thousands of pigs inside in it, and you can imagine the smell that's from that.
Yeah, and are you downwind from...
We're downwind, yeah. See, the predominant wind down these parts in the southeast is a southwest wind, and 90% of the time it's a southwest wind, and it blows straight in on top of us here. And all the neighbours around, and it's absolutely terrible, you know.
Yeah, presumably it's not just yourselves that have an issue with this then.
Oh no, there's lots of people, all the neighbours around. It's really sickening, you know. But there doesn't seem to be a lot we can do about it. The people who own it, I mean, they're 4 or 5 piggeries, I think, elsewhere. But they obviously don't have to live with the smell themselves.
And have you complained to the owners?
Well, well, you see, I've even spoken to some friends of mine who are pig farmers, and they said they came down and they said, "Oh, geez, that's really bad." They wouldn't put up with it themselves. They said that it's the feed that they're using. Apparently, there's a certain type of feed that they use. It's a cheap feed, and it smells really badly. It causes the feces, I suppose, and the pigs to smell really badly, and it permeates the whole place. It permeates the house, your clothes, everything, you know, puts you off your food, and it's endless.
Yeah, I think that is the thing with that smell. It does, it goes into your hair and it, as you say, sticks to your clothes.
Oh yeah, it's so bad. I just as an anecdote, if I'd been working in the garden and I go down to the shop, the local garage, and you'd stand in the queue and you're 6 foot apart now from everybody, with COVID and all that kind of thing. And when you walk into the shop and you're standing there, you see the people in front of you and they're looking at their shoes and they're looking around and see that they stand in something or whatever. That's how much of it hangs on you.
Right, and you know it's you that they're actually smelling.
Yeah, and of course, we're actually stuck down here since COVID, you see. We can't get away. So bad when it opened up initially that we had to move to our son's house for the summer. Because
moved away?
We had to move out. Because, you see, you can't open a window, you can't open a door. It's that bad.
And can you complain to the EPA or, you know?
Well, there was a local councillor. He brought it up with the council, and I think they're trying to make this guy comply with some planning regulations. You see, initially, there was no problem with it. Well, I didn't have a problem with it, the chap opening up as a pig farm, because we are in the country. Because he assured everyone that there was going to be these chimneys, these tall chimneys that let the smell out, and it goes into the atmosphere rather than downwind of all the neighbours, you know. But when I spoke to him about it, he said, no way, no, he says, I can't afford it. It wouldn't pay me.
Right. So you're left with the smell after
so
that.
So we're left to suffer it. And I mean, not only does it devalue your house, but it makes living impossible here almost, you know.
God, well, I must say that is sounds like a really desperate situation, Jerry. And do visitors like would you have visitors calling asking you what?
This is it too. We have friends call to the house or anything like that. We have to actually take them away. We head down to Rosslare or something with them because they can't. I mean, if you're not used to it coming in, they're really sticking by it. You can do nothing. Like, you know, they said, oh, we have to get out of here. I even had, we were making a documentary down here, nothing to do with pigs, and it's not forensic science. I'm involved in forensic science. But the crew were down here, and they were interviewing myself, and we were, you know, doing some filming right here in my own garden and that. They all had to leave and pack up, and we chose a different site to have the interviews. It's that bad. You know, you literally get sick from it, you know.
That
put you off
is.
Your food. And you don't, it's not one of those smells that you get used to it. It's pervasive. It's non-stop. We have a slight respite at the moment because the wind is coming from the north. But as soon as it changes back now to the southwest, it's back to the usual, you know. And it gets worse in the summer because you can't leave all the windows shut, you see, in the summer. If you open a window, it comes in. At least in the winter, you can keep the door shut and the window shut, you know.
Yeah, Jerry, that sounds like an absolutely intolerable situation. I'm sure there must be more people in that situation. Maybe we might hear from them over the next day or so.
Yeah.
But thanks for raising that. And as I say, I'm sure you're not alone in that.
I'm definitely not alone, I can assure you.
Okay, Jerry, I'll say good luck to you. As I say, we may come back to this. I think we might just have time to fit in. Linda, good afternoon.
Hi, Katie, how are you?
You taking us back to that issue that we spoke about earlier in the programme, graduation.
Yeah, so graduation. And look, I feel for the lady and I know where she's coming from, finishing primary school. But I had two that graduated during COVID. So one last year and one this year. That, like, you know, they had to finish their college degrees online. They couldn't have their graduation. They couldn't go to graduation. So I literally watched my oldest child's graduation online at home by myself. You know, and I think that the college students really got the short end of the stick with everything. There was so much made of, excuse me, the primary and the leaving cert. But for the college students to have to finish their degree at home in their rooms on a laptop, you know, some of those courses were very, very hard to do at home. And then to not be able to go to the graduation. And even for parents, for us, like, you know, our oldest was, you know, graduated and we didn't even get to go to his graduation. And he didn't even get to see it live because he was started a new job and he didn't want to ask to get off early to watch it, you know. So just, I think the college students really got kind of the raw end of the deal.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
With the graduation.
For sure, Linda. I actually didn't realise there was no graduations this year.
No,
I think we'll probably be hearing more of that one. But thank you for that.
Yeah,
and
okay, no problem.
That's all we have time for today. We're over time. Mark McGrath was on sound today. Elaine Conlon was our broadcast coordinator. And Annette Egan produced. Stand by now for Catherine, I think, coming up next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. For more on our 212 offers, visit your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.